Hello, Sean, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. Okay, I'm a little bit late. Sorry about that. Let's convene the meeting for July the 12th. This is a virtual meeting, of course, of the PUD Commission. And we'll start with, we've called to order, approval of the consent agenda. Do I have a motion?
I move that we accept the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the consent agenda for July 12, 2021. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Agenda revisions. Doug, got a number.
Will, let me go ahead, Will, because you had mentioned that you wanted to, or you had to, get out a little bit early. We want to change the business agenda items, removing some of the staff. I'd recommend we move some of the staff items up to business items. So the first one would be discuss appointing new delegates to Northwest River Partners. The second one would be plans to reopen district facilities to the public. Third would be update on disconnection moratorium extension. And then we added a new one, update the district on our meeting we had last week with the county. And then update on Avion and Powerline litigation efforts. And then the last one would be BPA post 2028 contract discussions. And then it would continue as normal with correspondence and commission reports. Okay. If that's okay with you there.
Yeah, that's great. Rick, I might have to, I've got to drive to Richland for Energy Northwest. We're interviewing CEO candidates for the next 2 days. Plus, I've got to get over there, and I've got a meeting with a subcommittee tonight. I've moved into the acting chairman of the board of the executive board, so things kind of piling up. But anyway, Rick, if you don't mind, if I can call on you at some point to step in.
Not a problem.
Okay, great. All right, so comments from the public. Sean, do we have any?
Nothing in the chat yet, but if anybody would like to make a comment, go ahead and give me your first name now, please. Hearing none, Will.
Okay, good. Well, we'll move on to business items. The first business item is discuss appointing the delegates to the Northwest River Partners. Doug, you have...
Yeah, Will, when we first set up the organization and memberships for all the committees and organizations, that was before we actually joined Northwest River Partners. So they were not one of the ones that was on our list. So I would recommend that maybe Rick would be the delegate and someone like Nicole would be the alternate, but that's up for the commissioners to put up a vote and a second on that.
Rick, do you?
Yeah, that'd be fine. I move that we appoint me the delegate for Northwest River Partners and Nicole as my backup.
Okay. Jim, do you want to second something concerning River Partners?
I'll let you do it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll second that. It's been moved and seconded that Rick Pichel takes on the representatives for Clallam PUD at Northwest River Partners and Nicole be the alternate. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those?
Aye.
Oh, good. We got good. All right. Good. Our next item is plans to reopen district facilities to the public. Doug?
Yeah, let me go through this quickly because the questions come up a few times. So just to let you know, our present plan is tentative and it stands a good chance of changing, and we'll continue to update the commission on any changes in the future as it goes along. By all appearances, we hopefully the disconnect moratorium will end September 30th, but we don't know that yet for sure. So this is part of tentative. The Emergency Exception to Open Public Meeting Act will remain at least until September 30th and very likely beyond this date. If the date remains, our intent is to open the boardroom for appointments from September 1st to October 31st. And the reason for this is we'll be meeting with customers, delinquent customers, to ensure that they have every opportunity to receive assistance through utility arrearages funding. And while we're doing that, what we'd like to do is use the boardroom to do that. And that allows for the distancing and for privacy of these private appointments. So as with that in mind, we'd like to hold off on our board meetings till November 1st. So the first board meeting then officially open to the public, if all stays the way it is now, on November 8th. And that depends on any state restrictions in effect at the time. And what we'll do is, like I said, keep you updated on whatever changes. So if the Open Public Meeting Act is lifted before November 1st, in-person meetings in the boardroom can occur. But at this point in time, we don't necessarily see that happening. So that's kind of an update, and we'll continue to keep you updated on the status of that as it changes.
And I believe we're working on some option to provide hybrid meetings. So if we go to face-to-face meetings, then the public can still participate through virtually.
Yes, we're looking at that. Okay. It's kind of difficult if you're trying to think of who's ever speaking to try to have the camera on that person speaking and then move to someone else when they're speaking. So that's a technical issue that we're looking at, and we'll have IT look into further.
Okay, thank you.
Doug, I'm not following exactly. The Open Public Meetings Act, that applies whether you're having a virtual meeting or a public meeting. I'm not sure I follow your concern about waiting till November because of these meetings you want to use in the boardroom with delinquent customers. Why is that holding us up with in-person board meetings?
Well, right now, the emergency exception to open public meetings remains at least to the September 30th, like I mentioned. And what we're doing is using the boardroom for these private meetings with our customers. So trying to coordinate that. We also have some of our customer service people out in the lobby area for social distancing. So we're using the offices out there. So that's one of the main reasons. And as soon as we get that resolved, we plan on opening for the public.
I guess, can you forward me the latest guidance, governor's guidance on this, just so I can understand?
Sure. We'll do that, John. Thank you.
Doug, I think it's a good idea to make sure the staff is protected as much as possible. So I support your decision.
Okay. Thank you. And like I said, it could change, and we'll keep you updated on that.
Well, it has a history of changing. They keep extending these.
Right.
These things, so good. All right, well, thanks, Doug. All right, update on the disconnection moratorium extension. Sean, do you have that one?
Yeah, so just real quick, I don't know if you guys all saw the email that came from Waputa, but unfortunately, the state has extended the disconnect moratorium from July 31st, which was the plan date, until September 30th. So as of right now, we cannot disconnect customers for non-payment until at least September 30th. And, you know, we keep saying that we believe that it will be lifted at that point, but at this point, with it keep getting extended, I have no idea if there's an end in sight, but hopefully September 30th is the end date.
So what is our arrearage at this point?
Yeah, I have a little chart here for that on the next segment.
Okay, we'll wait then.
No, that's okay. It's a good segue into that. So if you can see my screen, we, at the end of June, in the blue bar there, that final one, This is just our 90 days arrears. We were about $300,000 and projecting through the end of the moratorium, you know, we'll be upwards of about $400,000 in 90 day arrears, which is about a 13,000% increase since the beginning of the pandemic. And I know I talked to you guys about this the last meeting, but on June 21st, I presented to the county commissioners on multiple asks for the ARPA funds, which included water, broadband projects, as well as assistance for utility arrearages. And at the last Tuesday, the county met again to consider all the requests, and they decided at this time that they are going to focus on what they're considering emergency needs. And so our water and broadband projects didn't fall into that category, but the money that we asked for utility assistance did. And so they've tentatively approved us for $350,000 to help our customers with the arrearages. They also allocated about $2.5 million to the EDC, $700,000 to the food bank, and then $150,000 to other utility customers, mostly independent water systems in the county. So hopefully this week I'll get an agreement, a subrecipient agreement from the county that we can enter into with them and then begin offering appointments to our customers to apply for this money. So that's some really good news. And then also, the city of Port Angeles was the recipient of a community development block grant for about $350,000. And it was divided up between the city of Port Angeles, the EDC, the city of Forks, and also the city of Sequim. And the city of Sequim has tentatively decided to move the portion of their funding, which is about $56,000, over to the PUD customers for utility assistance. And the caveat there is that this money is only for low-income customers, so there will be some screening requirements that are placed on us here at the utility to make sure that customers applying for this meet certain requirements. They have to be low-income, and they also have to be a resident of the city of Sequim. But that's some additional money for our customers that we're excited about. So between those two grants there, we have about $700,000 at the end of June in total past due balances. And between the ARPA funds of $350,000 and this $50,000 from this CDG grant, we'll get a good portion of those covered. And there's still money outstanding to be had from Serenity House. They have about $600,000 to $700,000. $480,000 available for customers. But again, there's restrictions. They have to be renters and they have to be low income. So there's money available, and we've reached out very aggressively to our past two customers. We've made personal phone calls. We've made robocalls. We've sent letters, delinquent notices, put messages on the bills. We have done everything that we can from our perspective to assist these customers. And what we're getting told time and time again is that most customers that are delinquent are telling us that we're just going to wait until the very last minute before we apply for assistance, because we've been told that we can only get assistance one time, and so we're going to maximize the amount of money that we get and wait till the very end. So on one hand, I understand their strategy, but on the other hand, from a utility perspective, it's very frustrating because we've put in hundreds of man hours in the customer service department to work with these customers, and we're just not really seeing any headway. This extension of the moratorium has really handicapped us even further. So more to come, I guess. But as of right now, that's kind of where things sit.
Sean, that $700,000 goes up to $1 million when they extend it out till September. Is that right? At forecasted.
Yeah, I mean it's the bills in the summer are a little bit less than this time of the year, so But yeah, our total arrearages will probably be close to $1 million as we get to the end of September, especially as we enter into the colder months.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that's when we start getting into high bills after September too.
Exactly. So if it does get extended beyond September 30th, say to the end of the year, it's going to be substantial. It'll be exponential growth for sure.
And I think all the commissioners saw that, like you mentioned, that Laputa that Khan wrote to the governor, how frustrated it was they were with that, or to the memberships, how frustrated they were not getting any response, positive response from the governor and the legislature. So he was pretty well fed up with what's going on.
Yeah, he was quite. Yeah, you're right, Doug. I mean, he was pretty upset that basically everything they've said to the governor's staff has just basically gone by the wayside. Nobody's listening to the utilities, and they're sort of left to fend for themselves.
Right.
So is there any way to push back on this only being able to apply once, and so customers are waiting to the nth hour so they can maximize what they get?
Yeah, unfortunately.
That sounds like a bad design, but anyway.
It is, and it comes from straight from the Treasury. Mm-hmm. And there's, I don't personally see any way around it. And from an auditing perspective, you know, we're stuck with the rules.
Yeah, yeah. Got to follow the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is that all you had, John?
Yes, sir.
And you've covered the meeting with the county.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right, our next item is an update on avian and power line mitigation efforts. Mike, are you on? Yeah, there he is.
Yep, I'm here, and on the project on Kerner Road to bury a span of conductor to protect the swans from running into them. We finally got the last easement signed the Friday before last. I was told by the Audubon Society that they put the check in the mail on Friday, so we have construction scheduled for the second week in August.
So does that mesh with the migration of the swans?
Yeah, they were fine as long as we got her done, I think, before November. So we're on track, and we needed the ground to be dry out there to do this work anyway. So it took a little longer to get to this point, but we're right where we wanted to be now.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Okay, if not, we'll move on to BPA post-2028 contract discussion. This is commissioners and staff. So this is going to be an ongoing item, I think, on our agenda, which we may be a little early.
There's a meeting scheduled for tomorrow. There hasn't been one since the last meeting, but if anyone has anything to add, they're welcome to.
This is the BPA PPC meeting?
Yes, tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah. So far, it's mainly history. But
yeah, I don't have anything to add. There hasn't been any meetings since our last talk.
All right. Any other comments, questions on that one? It'll be an ongoing item on our agenda. Okay, correspondence communication, Doug.
I know nothing today, Will.
Okay, good. Commissioner reports. Rick, you want to lead it off?
As it been noted, there haven't been any meetings since our last meeting. However, I did meet with a commissioner from Jefferson County PUD. Ken reached out to me and wanted to get together, so we had coffee together and talked about utilities, and he had noted that there was quite a bit of coordination between the staff and employees at each of the utilities, but there hasn't been much coordination between the commissioners, and he's hoping to change that. That's the biggest thing that came out of the meeting I had with it.
Yeah, some time back, I guess years ago, we used to have joint commission meetings with Jefferson. Haven't done that for a while, but maybe that's something we want to look at. Anything else?
That's all I've got, Will.
Okay, Jim?
Yeah, let's see. I guess two things in the last, since the last meeting. Northwest River Partners had a meeting last week that I joined. It was kind of, I don't know, not much to it, frankly. They, what Kurt was doing was mostly making the case to increase dues significantly in order to, in his view, to counter the effects of large donors that are anti-dam. And in fact, he gave a list, Sierra Club, Natural Resource Defense Council, et cetera, et cetera. And these are all in the millions and millions of dollars. And but what he's doing was basically, these are national organizations with national programs. And frankly, don't have a whole lot. They're not spending much money at all in terms of the dam issues here in the Northwest. So it seems to me he's just, you know, playing scare tactics with the audience there, which there was only one other commissioner on the line beside me. The rest appear to be staff, or they could have been co-op people or something, or utilities with cities, but I didn't recognize any of the other folks. But anyway, it kind of was a, just a, you know, hey, we need more money and here's why and so forth. And he threw out a lot of things, or several things, that tended to exaggerate the issue more than I believe is necessary. So I don't see a whole lot of value in that group. In fact, they, as you folks know, he sent out a letter about a week and a half ago, 25-page document challenging a bunch of information that was put out by Dam Sense, and I'll provide some comments on that. But it's really it's unfortunate that we're going to spend our money when he could be doing good analytical work, but frankly, it's mostly amateur work, and it's not worth the money, but anyway, that's just the way it is. I also attended the Northwest Power and Conservation Council. I sat in on listening to their power committee meeting on June 30th. One of the things they did is they had the staff. somebody's interrupting here. Anyway, they had the staff briefed them on the heat wave in eastern Washington and the rolling blackout that occurred in Spokane and the potential for some issues in the Tri-Cities area, because the staff had heard, I mean, the members had heard, and the members I'm referring to are the governor appointees from the four states, that, you know, there was a reliability issue with power and so forth. And the staff did a very extensive analysis and actually did a very good job of showing us how they, where they looked for this information, which databases and so forth like this. So it's very instructive what they did. And what it basically showed, there was not a power shortage. There was a distribution issue up in the Spokane area and potentially one in the Tri-Cities areas, but it didn't materialize. So that was that just, you know, their point was, there was power available. It just wasn't being able to move around sufficiently due to distribution issues. They also, what the council was basically getting is in the mode of, or they're in the mode of now, is actually reviewing the draft document. And they had meetings the week before that as well, going through all that stuff. And it's interesting, though, because the modeling results and so forth are, you know, kind of like, okay, they're there. But these guys' discussion is mostly political, and which is unfortunate, given that, you know, we probably pay them about $120,000 a year in terms of our share of the BPA money that pays for the council. I thought it was interesting that even Jim Yost from Idaho, who is one of the most pro-dam, serious advocates, he really is all over the hydro system. He admitted there's not much flexibility in the hydro system anymore, and yet that's a principle of a lot of the reliability analysis and resource adequacy assumptions that are being made by the Northwest Power Pool and Public Power Council and others, et cetera. But even he admits that it's not there. And so that was interesting that he would come forth and say that, although I think he probably didn't mean to say it, but he did. And it certainly is the case. There is no flexibility or very little flexibility in the hydro system. I guess that's all I've got. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. This is going to be all Energy Northwest. We're going through a lot of change. Sid Barson, who was the chairman of the executive board, resigned from the board, and he's retiring. I stepped in. I was the vice chair, so I'm in the chair seat at this point. They're going to hold elections in August for officers. And on top of that, our CEO, Brad Swarovski, who has been stellar in his performance and bringing Columbia Generating Station to NPO 1, one of the top-rated nuclear plants in the country. He's retired and he's gone. So now the executive board is going through the thing of hiring a new CEO, which will reshuffle most of the management team, which has been very good. I'm going to go over for the next 2 days. We're going to interview candidates for the CEO position. We've got 4 internal candidates, and we've got 1 external candidate. So it's 2 full days of interviews. Then after discussion, we will decide on a final candidate probably at the last week in this month. I think I've already talked about Janet Herron has joined the executive board. She took Sid's seat as a board member, not as chairman. So that kind of complicates things of having a new board member go through this process. But I think she's up to the task. We'll try to the big issue is sustainability of Columbia, sustainability of Energy Northwest, getting into alternate products, mainly carbon-free products, well, not mainly, all carbon-free products. So we're trying to grow ES&D, so the next CEO will have his hands full, sustaining performance of the nuclear plant and growing the rest of the business. So we'll see how that goes, and I'll report on that when I get back at the next meeting. Okay, board action items. Do we have any, T?
We do not, Will.
Okay, good. We do not have an executive session. Comments from the public. Sean, do we have any?
Again, nothing through chat, but if anybody would like to make a comment, let me know now, please. Hearing none again, Will.
Okay, well, we probably just set a record for the shortest meeting we've ever had.
Well, I think that's a reflection that no one wanted me to lead the meeting, and I'm okay with that.
Good choice, Rick. Good choice. Okay, well, if no other business to come before the board, we stand adjourned, and thank you for participating.
Thanks, everybody.